Good morning. If you would, please turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 3. Luke, chapter 3. Now, actually, my message today is a topical message, and the first reference we'll be looking into is Luke, chapter 3. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a time set aside by our nation, and it is a day of remembrance. Therein, we honor our dead, the brave men and women who sacrificed in behalf of a grateful nation. Originally, the day was entitled Decoration Day, for then the graves of those who served our country were decorated with flowers, and they still do that yet today. Now, obviously, it is a day of respect and honor. It is a day to remind us that our freedom is not free, but that the liberties we enjoy and the way of life we love was bought and paid for by the blood of our soldiers. To them we owe our thanks. Let us not squander, misuse, or abuse that which they died to secure for us. That being said, as Christians, and yes, as Baptists, we have a heritage that was also bought and paid for by blood. The truths we hold dear and the privileges of Christian service have been secured and maintained by the faithful throughout the ages. Let us not squander, misuse, or abuse that which they died to secure for us. It is my desire to remind you of a few brave Christian soldiers who gave the ultimate sacrifice for the Lord, inasmuch as we would honor those who suffered and or died for our national liberties. We ought to honor those who suffered and or died for our spiritual beliefs. I would like to speak to you today a message I've entitled Memorial Day. And so may this be a day of memorial for you as you think back over your Christian heritage. Memorial Day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and thank you for the grace and mercy that you bestow upon us. We pray for the sick and afflicted that you would heal them, those who are away traveling, keep them safe and bring them back safe again. And Lord, as we've come today in your name to worship you in spirit and in truth, we ask that you would direct this portion of our service, that we'd be attentive to your word. And Lord, that message which you've laid upon my heart, I pray that you would guide me in the deliverance of it. And I ask for power and direction of the Holy Spirit, that you just meet every need of every heart. And Lord, we pray especially for those that are lost, that they might be saved today, that you would convict them and draw them to Jesus. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, that we would remember that you died to save us. And not only that, those things which we believe and hold dear, many people have died to maintain. And so God, cause us to be faithful. So bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Memorial Day. Now, again, I mentioned I'm going to give you a few of these brave soldiers here in Luke chapter 3, where I've asked you to turn. The first person I would like to remind you of is one of the individuals, certainly right at the beginning of the New Testament era, and it's John the Baptist. We pick it up in Luke chapter 3 and in verse 19, where we have a description of John. We know that John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came in the spirit of Elijah. But we have a statement in regard to him and why he suffered what he did suffer. Luke 3, verse 19, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." And so what we find here, as you turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, what we find here is that Herod, who is the civil leader of the day in that area, did not like John because, well, Herod, he decided that he wanted his brother's wife, and so she divorced Philip and married Herod, and John said that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that, and he reproved Herod for that. And of course, the wife was upset, Herod was upset, and we also read in that passage where that all the other evils, because John, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, was bold, he was brave, and even to the civil rulers, those in power and authority, he stood up to and said, "You're wrong the way you're living, and you're wrong for your conduct, and that's not the way you ought to be." And so John would reprove him for all the evils which he had done, and especially for taking his brother's wife. And so we see that very clearly in the Scripture. Now, as I've asked you to turn over to Matthew chapter 14, we saw that in the Luke account that he was put into prison, and we know that John had been in prison, and here is his death. And we're not going to read all the story, but in Matthew chapter 14, we pick it up in verse 6. It says, But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and for them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in prison. See that? And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Why was John in prison? Simply because he stood to the truth, stood the test, wasn't willing to back up. He was honest, he was faithful, he was pure, he was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, because of his offense with Herodias, that plan that she divulged with her daughter and being able to convince and persuade and seduce Herod to make a promise that was very rash, she ends up with John the Baptist's head in a charger. John lost his life. Why? Simply because he loved the Lord and did what God wanted him to do. Talk about faithfulness. John the Baptist was a faithful martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second one I want to introduce to you is found over in the book of Acts chapter 6. And, of course, I'm bringing to you very common individuals of the Scripture. We know these to be true. You've no doubt have heard these stories over and over and over. But I want to introduce you to the second believer who suffered for the Lord. And we pick it up in chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 8 through verse 15. We have Stephen the deacon. And just notice the description of Stephen of which we read. And we'll go through the end of the chapter, Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So you get an idea who he is, following the Lord, faithful. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And so you see the description of Stephen, his work, his belief, his faith. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. When the heretics would challenge him, he would hold up his end of the debate. He would not back in. He would not cave. He just argued the points that he knew to be true, talked about Jesus, talked about the Scripture. And you know what? They didn't like him. They hired people to attack him and bring him before the council, lie against him, false witness. And well, in chapter 7, you see his defense as he stands before the council. We're not going to look into all that story, but go down to the end of chapter 7 as he rehearses the history of the children of Israel and speaks so many great, wondrous truths through chapter 7, Stephen being aware of those matters. Pick it down into verse 54 where we look into that verse. He says, and when they heard these things, I mean, when he got down to Jesus and he talked about the history of Israel, got to Jesus, they didn't like what he had to say. When they heard these words, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You think they like that? Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, why did Stephen die? Simply because he held to the truth. Simply because he believed in the Lord. Simply because he was true and did what God wanted him to do. Being filled with the Spirit, he would not back up. He would not hedge. He would not compromise. And even though they lied against him, his spirit at the end was, Lord, I accept this way I'm going to die. In fact, forgive them. Forgive them. That's the kind of man that Stephen was. And so Stephen was martyred. Turn over to the book of Acts chapter 12, a quick reference to James, the brother of John, sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. We just notice very quickly that Scripture records for us in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, about James. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, executed him, most likely beheaded him. And so James is killed. Why? Well, he was vexing the church at Jerusalem there, and all their labors, and the representation of Christianity, and how certainly Herod cared for none of those things. James was executed. Now you'll see further on in chapter 12, we're not going to read that, but it mentions that how he was going to take Peter and going to do the same thing for him. He was going to put Peter to death, but God delivered him in a great and marvelous way. But I've given you three very quick references of people who, for the truth, for the love of God, for Jesus Christ's sake, died and gave up their life. We speak of John the Baptist, and I mentioned Stephen, and I mentioned James. But go back a little bit further to Acts chapter 26. I'd like to make just a general reference to the saints. If you know anything about history, especially Baptist history and early Christian history down in the first and second century, you know that, boy, there was a great deal of persecution, especially in the early church. And you see the transition time from the Gospels into the New Testament church age and all the suffering that they went through and the persecution. I submit unto you in a general fashion the matter of the saints as being persecuted. Now what I've chosen to do is ask you to turn to Acts chapter 26, where I'm going to pick it up in verse 9 down through verse 11, because we have the Apostle Paul, who's making reference to his afore livelihood, that when he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he hated Christianity, and you remember when we just read there about Stephen, when he was stoned, they laid their clothes as they stoned Stephen at the feet of Saul. That was Saul of Tarsus. This is the Apostle Paul. But before he was saved, he was a persecutor. And as he gives this account before Agrippa, he talks about his previous life. And notice what he did. And again, we're making reference to those who suffered in the behalf of the Lord's name, all the saints. Acts chapter 26, pick it up in verse 9. He says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, notice, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I mean, he just didn't stay at Jerusalem. He went everywhere he could find. He was on the way to Damascus to get the Christians, when the Lord met him and changed his life forever. But do you notice in that passage there where he says that he imprisoned the saints? Why did he imprison them? Simply because they were followers of Jesus. Simply because they were following after the Lord and being faithful. They would not give in. They would not surrender. They were true. And he imprisoned these people. Well, you find, though, that through the difficulties of torture, he compelled some to blaspheme. Now, I don't know. I don't know what I would do, to be honest with you. I don't like pain myself. I try to avert it as much as I can. I do not know if they start torturing me, if I would ever turn against Jesus Christ. I pray not. But I don't know what that would be like, and I can't put myself in that situation. The only thing I do believe is I really believe that God gives grace when we need it, and I trust God, ask God. I've pled with Him before, and I'll continue to plead, God, if I ever get put in that position, give me the grace to endure. I don't want to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be compelled that if anything should come, I want to be found faithful. I don't think we'll really know until we get to that time, do you? But these guys, some of them were compelled to blaspheme, but they were persecuted, and that many were put to death. You see that in the passage? Put to death. Turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as a reference, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11, this great hall of faith, speaks of so many great and wondrous acts and people who were delivered because of their great faith, and what a marvelous thing it is. But the truth is, you come down to the end of this chapter, this great hall of faith, not everybody was delivered. These Christians who were found faithful and these ones who followed God in truth and in honesty and in integrity, they did not give up. But there were some who suffered and suffered greatly. So I direct your attention to chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, the second phrase of verse 35. And we're going to read through the end of verse 38. It says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, a bond and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth." Why? Why? Because they held to the name of Jesus. Because they believed the truth. They would not reject Him. They would not deny. And so they were tortured. They suffered. Some died. Others were just persecuted to a great extent. I'll tell you, my friend, these things which we hold true today, we live in a society that we don't receive this kind of persecution. We're not put under that kind of pressure. That's not true for the other nations around the world. But here we have a measure of freedom. We think we're persecuted because somebody slams a door in our face or someone might make fun of us. That's nothing compared to what these people went through, and they went through it because they loved Jesus Christ. They loved the truth. Should they be memorialized? Should they be remembered? Absolutely. You know why? Because these things that we hold dear, they lost their lives for. Shall we take them so for granted? And it should be so minor to us when these people died for Jesus' sake. So I've given you a few examples of John and Stephen and James and generally speaking of all the saints. But I want to make reference to the Apostle Paul. I've had said unto you that this was Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor. But go, if you would, back to Acts chapter 13. I thought it necessary to mention the Apostle Paul. Of course, there are many statements in the Scripture about Paul and his life after he was saved, of course, and the life that he lived and the things that he suffered, the things that he endured. There's a summary that he gives over in Corinthians. But I just want to give you a few references that Paul himself, who used to be a persecutor, received persecution. And I've asked you to turn to Acts chapter 13, just a few references. Here on his first missionary journey as he headed out to do what the Lord would have him to do when he was at Antioch in Pisidia. Excuse me. When he was serving the Lord there, being found faithful, just preaching the things what Christ would have him to preach. It says in Acts chapter 13, verse 50, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts." And so they were persecuted and cast away. Well, he left there and went over to Iconium. Look into chapter 14. Look it up in verse 5. "And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe." And so what it was, he quit preaching at Antioch because they kicked him out, went over to Iconium, and these people got all upset, and some of the people from Antioch came over, and everybody's all stirred up, and they're going to stone him to death. And when they had word of that news, they left and went to Lystra and Derbe. But the persecution, skip down to verse 19, Acts chapter 14. As he continued to be faithful and preach the word wherever he went, despite the persecution, despite the opposition, verse 19 says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city and supposed that he had been dead." And so now these people, they got together. Here they are at Lystra, and Paul was stoned to death, just like Stephen was. Someone said that Stephen wasn't stoned to death. He was rocked to sleep. Well, I guess that's true, but he was put to death. Paul, I believe, was put to death here. He was stoned, but he raised up and came on. One other thing about Paul I want to make reference toward in the Scripture, and that's in Acts chapter 21. Skipping ahead through all of his journeys and all the things that he did and all the persecutions and that which he suffered for the Lord's sake, when he came back to Jerusalem, he was convinced to hold a vow and go into the temple. And so he did do that. He was in the temple just doing what he would thought was the right thing to do and was the right thing to do. And I pick it up in Acts chapter 21 and in verse 30. "And all the city was moved and the people ran together and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. So he was in the temple just serving God, keeping his vow. They came upon him, grabbed him, brought him out of the temple, shut the doors, and as they went about to kill him, that's their end desire for him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band and that all Jerusalem was on an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Their intent was to kill this guy. Why? Because he preached Jesus. He preached the Messiah. He preached the resurrection from the dead. He preached the truth. And because he loved the Lord and taught those things, would not give in, would not bend, would not compromise, they're going to put him to death. And only because the chief captain got there, he rescued him, but they left beating him while he was there. And you can go on and you can read chapter 22 in his defense that he makes on the steps of the temple and so forth. But the Apostle Paul, the great persecutor, became the persecuted. In fact, he died for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was executed around the year 67 A.D. Now, tradition states that he was beheaded at the place now called Trefontaine in Rome. So Paul died for the cause of Jesus Christ. I've given you some of these examples today by the scriptures of those who suffered, those who died. What about the other apostles? What does the tradition say about their end, their results? Do you know that Peter, he may have been executed around 64 during the persecution of Nero, or perhaps in A.D. 67, they're not really sure, but somewhere in that general time frame, and apparently he was crucified head down at his own request. Peter met a bad end. Why? Simply because he loved the Lord, and he would not submit. He would not deny the Lord. He would not recant, and at his own request was crucified upside down. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, the early tradition states that he was crucified at Patras, in the place called Achaia, which is the province where Corinth is located. But anyway, a later tradition will describe him as being crucified in a spread eagle position. Hence, you will see the St. Andrew's Cross of Scotland. But he was crucified. Why? Because he taught the truth, loved the truth, and would not give in. John, the son of Zebedee, you know, the brother of James we just mentioned, he was banished to the nearby island of Patmos. And now, of course, that's one of the Greek islands in the Aegean Sea in our day and time. But he was exiled there, and he was subsequently freed, and he died a natural death in Ephesus around 100 A.D. But, you know, he was put on an island by himself, and that's where he received the revelation, the book of Revelation. But suffered simply because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Bartholomew, traditionally, he met his death by being flayed or skinned alive and then beheaded. I'd rather be beheaded first and then skinned alive, wouldn't you? Well, he suffered and died, didn't he? Thomas, he was speared to death near a place called Madras. Matthew, there are different traditions, place his missionary work and possible martyrdom in Ethiopia or Persia. They don't know for sure, but it's understood that he was probably martyred. James, the son of Alphaeus, he suffered martyrdom in Egypt. Jude, he was killed in Persia along with Simon the Zealot. Now, Simon, who was called the Zealot, tradition is that he first preached in Egypt before joining Jude, and then he traveled to Persia where both of them were martyred. And Simon may have been crucified or hacked to death. They don't know for sure. But these apostles, they met their end, didn't they? Only John that we know of lived for sure. And just died of age. The others, they died because of their faith. They died because of what they believe. Now, if you're following along the outline that you have in the bulletin, I've also listed two other martyrs. And these two martyrs I'm going to make reference to, I've spoken in a general sense of some of the people that we find in the Scripture in reference to the apostles and what tradition says happened to them. Two martyrs from the 16th century. Early in the 16th century that I want to share with you. One was by the name of John Whalen, and he was taken prisoner. He was examined at Grevenhage, and he was sentenced to die. He and his associates were chained to stakes, and a fire was built around them. And by this, they were slowly roasted, until the marrow was seen trickling down from their thigh bones. And after roasting to death, their clothing was picked from their bodies with the color still recognizable. I mean, they weren't burnt, they were roasted to death. Can you imagine? Why? Because they would not deny Jesus Christ. Because they would not deny the truth. they held to the things of God. John Wayland and his associates. Viet Pilgrims was the other one I wanted to mention. He was apprehended at Glavik. Then with the help of his friends and relatives, he was released, but later he was again arrested, examined, and tortured. He didn't regard his life, but counted it a blessing to suffer for the name of Christ. And he did suffer. And at last he came to his death sentence. And what they did is they cut his left side open and poured boiling oil in him. And then he was tossed onto a sled and taken to the place of execution where he was burned to ashes. Can you imagine? Why? Because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he believed the truth and would not deny it. And you can go and you can read Fox's Book of Martyrs and Martyrs' Mirrors. And you can read accounts of people who live the truth, love the truth, the Anabaptists in our history and all the others under different names. They would not deny. They would not change. They would reject infant baptism, and they were put to death for it over and over and over again, all the way through the Dark Ages, through the Reformation time, persecuted, died for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the truths which we hold dear today, they had to give up their lives to, for. And so we mention this Memorial Day, some who've given their life. Now, there's one other. And I'm asking you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10. And I certainly would not speak about those who gave up their lives and surrendered for that which was right and dear and leave out none other than Jesus Christ. Why is it all these did what they did anyway? It was because of Jesus. I don't know what our future holds. I see us as losing our liberties in this country. I see it be whittling away. And over a period of time, I see religious persecution in this country as we've never seen it. And I see that there may well come a day in our country, it may not be in my lifetime, might be in the lifetime of my children, but I see coming down the road in this country where we'll have to give up our lives for the cause of Jesus Christ, just like these whom I mentioned today in reference. Would we stand the test? Will we stand the test? Why should we stand the test? Because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That's why they did. Now, Jesus gave up his life. I've asked you to turn to Acts chapter 10. Jesus was a martyr, was he not? Should he be memorialized? Well, absolutely. And we do that when we observe the Lord's table. But we memorialize him and think about him today. Now, introducing this thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the last one I want to bring to your attention, but I have several references today. I want to introduce him through Peter's account here in Acts chapter 10 as he stands before Cornelius and he's speaking about the things of Christ. Pick it up in verse 38 and verse 39. As he speaks about Christ, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Notice, what had Christ done wrong? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Did he do anything wrong? Did he deserve death? Did he deserve to be crucified? Peter said there wasn't anything that he did wrong. He did good. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And here Jesus Christ of Nazareth was one who was put to death as a sinner, though he never sinned. He had not done anything wrong. Peter states later in his epistle that there was no guile, neither anything that was wrong was found in his mouth. Jesus Christ was innocent. He was pure. But Matthew chapter 27, verse 18 tells us that the Jewish leaders had delivered him unto Herod because they envied him. The Jewish leaders hated Jesus Christ because they didn't like what he taught, and they didn't like the fact that he had a following and people were leaving Judaism and following after him, and they were envious of that. So they delivered him up. So if you will, go back to the book of Matthew chapter 27 as we finish out our thoughts with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had done nothing wrong. Simply God manifest in the flesh, doing what God the Father wanted him to do, and he always did please the Father. He was arrested, he was persecuted, and he was crucified. And as he had been examined, Pilate spoke to him. The Jews demanded his death, which, of course, is the death of crucifixion. Very hideous, horrible, painful way of dying. But notice verse 21 of chapter 27 of the book of Matthew, where we pick it up that how the Jews, they delivered him for envy, now wanted to see him dead. Verse 21, the governor asked and said unto them, whither the twain will I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Well, he's willing to release Barabbas or Jesus, and so he gave them an offer. They said, we want Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. And so they demanded his death. And so Pilate delivered him up to be crucified. And skip down to verse 39 of the same chapter. While he was hanging on the cross, did they leave him alone? No, they mocked him. It says in verse 39 that they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And so they mocked him. Of course, we know that he was beaten, he was scourged, he was crucified. And as he hangs on the cross, they mock him, make fun of him. And of course, you look down into verse 50, Jesus died. And when he had cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Jesus died. Why? Simply because of who he was? Simply because he was God's Son come in the flesh? He always did that which was good. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. But the Jews, they couldn't stand it. And they envied him and they delivered him to be put to death. And they had their way. Jesus was killed. Now again, I want to refer you back to Peter's view. Go back to Acts chapter 2 this time. Remember what we read in Acts chapter 10? We find a similar statement of which Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost. Here in Acts chapter 2, I direct your attention to verse 22, verse 23. As he preaches, he speaks many things, but he speaks about Jesus here, and he says in verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken him by wicked hands of crucified and slain. Why did he die? Not because of anything bad, but only because of something that was good. Now, keep your finger there. I'm coming back. But go over to the book of Acts chapter 3. Just go over a page or so. Acts chapter 3 and look into verse 13. Again, Peter, his summary of Jesus. Verse 13 says, Acts 3, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now you see something that's being mentioned here that I read here in Acts chapter 3. Christ was the Holy One, the just one, but he was killed. But he was raised again from the dead. Isn't that tremendous? Go back to chapter 2. As I finished out in verse 23 and verse 24, he says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Over to the book of Acts chapter 10, where I'd read to you earlier about the summary that Peter gave in Cornelius' presence. Look back into verse 40. We know that Jesus was crucified. They slew him. They hung him on a tree. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to him who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. What do you find? You find Jesus Christ was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. He was alive, isn't he? And why did he die? Did he deserve to die? No, but he willingly went to the cross. He willingly gave up his life. And why did he do that? The martyrs we've spoken of, they died because they loved Jesus. They died because they loved the truth. They wouldn't give up. They stood true. They stood the test. Why did he do this? He always did those things which pleased the Father. And we know that Jesus, and we don't have time to speak and give references, but you know that Jesus was God's Son, left heaven, came to earth to die for sinners. That's why he did that. That's why he would go about doing good. That's why he would raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out demons. You know why? To prove to the people that he was who he said he was, that he was the Messiah that was to come. He was the deliverer, that he was the Savior. All this he did for me. All this he did for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christian, you're a Christian today because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the grace of God. Should you ever let that slip? Should that ever go out of your mind? Never, ever. We are who we are because of Jesus Christ. And I look forward to one day seeing him face to face. We should love him. We should be obedient to him. We should be loyal to him. And what we've seen in reference to the other martyrs is they did that very thing out of their love to him and their love for the truth. They lived, they suffered, and they died. Jesus is the greatest martyr ever. Because of what he did, he procured salvation for those who would believe. So if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know, you're away from God, you're under condemnation, you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you need the Savior Jesus Christ. You're in darkness and you need to be brought into the light. You're dead, you need life. And that life only comes through Jesus Christ. I point you to him and to him alone, for he alone can save you. Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today? Would you be one of his? Well, in conclusion then, as we mention these things, Memorial Day is a day of remembrance, isn't it? You're going to reflect about that in a national sense. You perhaps know somebody personally that you'll keep that in memory. But all we should keep in memory as well, these who have suffered, these who have died for Jesus' sake and for the truth. That which we hold dear today has not come cheaply. It's cost the blood of many. And certainly, as Christians, we should never, ever forget that we're Christian because of Jesus, and that he died for us, that we might have life. Therefore, may we be provoked to remember. Would you remember today? Don't take your Christianity for granted. Would you remember what it took to save you? The death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The beliefs that we hold dear and dear to our heart, many died for. Will you remember? Would you be moved to compassion? Would you be stirred unto action? Would you be encouraged to stand for Jesus and for the truth? Would you be willing to follow in their steps? Would you remember today? Would you be moved? I close by reminding you of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, but today can be a Memorial Day as well. Would you remember? Would you be moved? Would you be stirred? Will you be faithful and true? I pray that we will, and we need God's grace to do so. I'd like for us to stand and sing. We're going to have an invitation. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are. If God's spoken to your heart, convict you of your sin, you need the Savior, cry out to Him. Call upon Him. Trust Him today. If you need help, you come, but walking in an aisle won't save you. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ will. And if you're saved, I pray that God's challenged your heart, spoken to you today. Don't take the things that we hold to be true for granted. We may lose our liberties. We may have to give up our lives one day for these things that we believe. We need God's grace to do so. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word. Encourage us, strengthen us, and we ask you to save the lost. May you be honored through all that's said and done today. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?